getting through discomfort is how you get to the next version of yourself. And that's a lesson in the gym and out of the gym, you know?
You've just tuned into Rebel Wellness Podcast, your resource for realigning and revitalizing your health and well-being. I'm your host, Kaylee, also known as Coach Kales. I'm a holistic health educator, certified nutritionist, and fitness professional of nearly a decade. I'm stoked to have you with us. You just joined a community of amazing souls who are ready to break free from the confines of the often outdated and confusing health advice all around us. Living in a world overwhelmed by quick fix diets and unrealistic beauty and body standards, us rebels stand for change. If you're like me, you're exhausted with the confusion and polarization plaguing the social media health scene. My mission is to empower you to step beyond today's diet culture, adopt a holistic health approach paired with the foundations of science for lasting, well-rounded wellness. Through teaching you how to tune in and embrace your mind, body, and soul, we'll reject one-size-fits-all solutions, realigning you on a better path that honors your unique needs and values. With new episodes weekly, this podcast is your sanctuary for deep wellness exploration, featuring expert advice, real-life stories, and a true commitment to your growth. Your journey to better health and simplicity in life begins now. Let's jump right in. What's up, Rebels? Welcome back to the show. Today's episode is an extremely special episode, one that is involving somebody who is very near and dear to my heart and honestly, you know, the second pea in the pod for Rebel Wellness. So you guys are going to get to meet a little bit more in depth than ever before Rebel Wellness's editor, Emily Parent from Parent Podcasts. She has her own business that she has been running for several years now. She took the leap into entrepreneurship, especially more recently. And so this was a perfect time. I wanted to kind of highlight and chat with her a little bit about her journey, you know, because it's really important that you guys learn from other people. If you are somebody who's been itching to kind of go off and do their own thing, or you're a creative type as well, who is just like feels really limited by their current occupation or where they're going, you know, whatever it is. Because today, Emily really wanted to share with you guys a lot more about how coaching together with me over the last, I think it's almost 4 years now, how it's changed her life and helped her build confidence, not only in the gym when we started working out together, but into her real life and feeling a lot more rooted and centered towards the most authentic path for her life, what she really is passionate about, you know, and diving more into some amazing things. She just did an amazing new project. I don't want to spoil it for you guys here, but she did just self-publish her first book called Butterfly Net. You can check it out in the show notes. We will talk a lot more about it in this interview today, but we are just focusing into all the ways that strength training actually impacted her life as a whole, how it was transformative for her and her confidence, and has just blossomed into this amazing thing that I've absolutely loved to watch her do and grow into and just, you know, I don't know, sparkle. We'll call it sparkle. She's just been sparkling ever since she's been really following her dream. And she's going to talk a little bit about, you know, her journey from going through corporate world and experiencing all of the ways that that was kind of holding her back and just didn't feel aligned. And now that she is completely jumping into these new waters that are very scary, but very, you know, empowering, because you're finally actually following what your soul is really singing about, right? So today's episode is going to be a really good one. And it's just a fun little conversation as well between the two of us, as we have some kind of goofy banter between us, as we have just been on this partnership, especially with Rebel Wellness, for the last 2 years. So I hope that you guys enjoy this chat. Let me know any feedback, or I hope that this episode inspires you to, you know, as cheesy as it sounds, follow your dreams a little more. So let's dive in. All right, friends, we have the effervescent, amazing Emily Parent, who is, you know, as you already heard in our intro, our show's beautiful podcast editor. She makes it sound so professional all the time. So welcome to the show, Emily.
Thank you, Kaylee. That was a very beautiful use of the word effervescent.
Yes, you are an effervescent. You're effervescent, Emily. But at the same time, like, I think it's actually funny because you are almost always present with every single episode, but nobody gets to see your face. So everyone gets to see your face.
It's true. I am feeling kind of like, you know how like the girl who's always taking the pictures when you point the camera at her, she's like, oh, don't do that.
Exactly. And then plot twist, I edit this episode. I'm just kidding.
Oh, God. You would do great. You would do awesome.
It's all just like a bunch of music cuts and then like two words. I'm just kidding.
And then it's a super cut of everything smart that you say.
Yeah, that would be a very strange episode. So let's kind of share with everyone listening a little bit of how we met, how we started our journey together, and what that was back in 2021, right?
It was like April of 2021.
Oh, she's got the date. Do you know the exact date?
I do. I was thinking about it. It's almost been 4 years of Kaylee time.
That's wild, but the best time. And okay, so go into share a little bit how that all
It was post-COVID. I think to start with, I can say I was Kaylee's client before anything else. I was being trained by Coach Kales herself. And it was post-COVID, and I was coming out of like a very sedentary year, as we all were. And I had this sort of burst of like, I really want to make a change. What's the first thing I can think to do to make a change? And I Googled personal trainer near me, female. And then a random database of personal trainers appeared, and Kaylee was the first on the list. And so I went to your Instagram, made sure you were a real person, sent you a DM, and then within 2 days we were on the phone. So it really was like this burst of like energy in the direction of where I needed to go. And then the universe did the rest. They just put you in front of me.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Do you remember which one? Was it fitness trainer or something? I can't remember what
in my mind, I think it's called Fit Finder, but it was so long ago that I could have made up that name.
Oh yeah, there's like one other one. Yeah. I can't remember. A lot of the Bay Area people kept finding me on the fitness trainer one, which was really random, but that works. It worked.
I remember your link was broken too. So I almost moved on to the next one, but I stayed. Something made me stay.
Instagram. That's where Instagram kind of completes the sale in a way with like connecting to people.
You look human when you're on Instagram. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And like people can see if they're going to vibe before they even like reach out. Yeah. So for sure.
So that was the beginning of our story. And then 2 years later, you started your podcast in 2023, January. There'd been all that lead up to that where I'd been like, man, I work an office job, but I just want to edit podcasts. And you were like, man, I train people, but I'd love to have a podcast. And then we were like, and we gave each other this look.
Exactly.
And then we started a podcast. And that was,
I know, exactly.
That's the conception story for Rebel Wellness.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. It was kind of one of those things, like I remember so many people were like, you should have a podcast on that. I wish you had a podcast. And then I was just like, I remember you being like, you were in the middle of, I think that's when you had started editing Intel's podcast, right?
I was doing that. Yeah. I was doing a corporate podcast.
Yeah. And then I remember it was kind of like, well, this kind of is like the perfect opportunity. Like, why don't we just go for it? There's never the right time, but the moment.
It was the right time, though. It was perfect.
It was the right time, though.
And now yeah, look exactly. at us.
I
we
know.
Have microphones and everything.
Yeah. This is actually this, when this airs, it will be, I think, exactly 2 years of us like putting it into fruition. Cause I remember in October is when we started building everything out. But let's talk a little bit now. Cause one of the big things that we kind of chatted about sharing in today's episode is a little bit about how strength itself, from like physically weightlifting to, you know, putting it into action and how it kind of impacted you. Can you share with everyone a little bit about like your journey there?
Yes, that is my favorite thing to talk about. And I can actually spoil the ending of the story in that the reason I'm on this podcast is because I just published a book 2 weeks ago. And that's good information to keep in mind going back to the beginning when I talk about the mindset transformation that happened, because when Kaylee and I first met, I was very, very scared of many things, including weight training, leaving the house, sort of, in a way. I called what I was experiencing codependence, largely because my life really revolved around my partner, not like by any doing of my partner, just because that was how I learned to be existing in a relationship, that because I had a very weak sense of self, I attached my sense of self to external things like being a partner to my boyfriend, or and at that time it was being present at my job. I know you watched in horror as I was getting up early and I was coming home late, and you were like, are they paying you? And I was like, a little bit. Because it was this nonprofit work, and in nonprofit work, for our nonprofit listeners, you already know this. Nonprofit, they will pay you in the promise of the mission, which is very an easy target for codependent people like I was and sometimes tend to be, you know, that you think that your efforts are going towards something meaningful. And so it's okay to self-sacrifice, because we live in a culture that really like applauds self-sacrifice. You know, you've said it 100 times on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a tangent. Back to strength training. So I met up with you. I was afraid to lift weights. You said, we're going to go slow. We're going to lift these weights, but you have to be able to like pull yourself off a cliff if you're dangling, essentially. That's kind of what you said. And that was one of the first like hard things. That was one of the first like hills that I was able to get over. And with it came sort of the sense that I could change my relationship to physical fitness in the same way I learned I could change my relationship to my mind and my relationship to my sense of self. So the more time that I spent in the gym figuring out what I was doing with my human physical body, the more opportunity that I had to sort of understand that within this body is actually a person who is able to and should make choices that serves her, you know?
Yeah, no, and I think that like from coaching you throughout the years, I definitely remember kind of a lot of the ways where it was one of those things where, you know, the hills you were climbing, like I could definitely see the battle between comfort and growth for you, and they're like physically and mentally, because there'd be so many times where, you know, you'd be like, yeah, I don't want to do this because I'm going to like this or that, or I'm just going to run. I'm just going to do running again. And I would always be like, no, you can do the hard things. Like, and I feel like strength for you and like majority of my female clients, it really transfers into that understanding that like you can do the hard things. And every time you do a hard thing, even if it's just physically, you know, it transfers into your mental game of like, I did a thing, I did a thing, I did a thing. And repeating that mentally helps you then, you know, step into different things in your work life, right? And I definitely saw a lot of that correlate with you, like with some of your PRs and all that kind of jazz. But also like what would you say was kind of like a memory that you had specifically where you kind of felt a big shift for yourself between all of that?
I think it was when I started to see progress. And I was taking pictures and I felt better in my body than I ever had before, because I'd always sort of thought myself to be like a cerebral person, like a person who thinks and not a person who like does any kind of physical movement. I always kind of felt like my body was like an obstacle to overcome. Getting to a place where I had overcome like the mentality that exercise hurts and it's bad, and when you do it, you're just unhappy. And when I got to a place where I was getting excited to exercise, and I started to have a body that was willing to come along for the exercise, I felt that was transformational in feeling like an individual human person, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I can add on that like part of the progress from where we started with basic like movement grew into the place where I discovered that I really loved hot yoga. Shout out to your yoga episode.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the most recent.
And I, like, it combined with sort of this, like, I'm a person who should be investing in things that feel good for me. And I went on to get my yoga teacher certification that turned out to be, like, the totally perfect path for me.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. No, which is great. And I think that that's kind of a cool way for you to learn that, like, embracing what movement feels the best for you. You know, like there's chapters in life where some people do want to run, and then there's chapters in life where they want to weight lift, and then there's chapters where they do more, you know, alternative modes that are all still strength building, like yoga or Pilates and things like that. And it's kind of important for a lot of people, I think, especially females, to understand that you don't need to stick to just one mode of strength at any capacity. You know, you have to just do it though. You have to put it into a routine and find what you love, and you will stick to whatever you love the most, you know? So mm-hmm. I think that that's been really cool to see you develop in the yoga side. Cause I remember when we first started working together, you were really big into yoga, but like kind of just more hobby-like. Mm-hmm. And you had kind of told me that you had briefly thought about maybe doing like a yoga certification. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
But then like you didn't, you like backed off like all immediately.
It was on my to-do list since I was like 21. And I had this job working at the front desk of a yoga studio, and I would like make playlists about like, if I were a yoga teacher, but I could never justify the expense in my mind, because getting a yoga teacher certification is like, it's an expensive way to spend a summer, but it came back to that sort of like awareness that like the money that I have is actually for me to do the things that I want to do with my one wild and precious human life, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the biggest mistake some people think when it comes to that stuff, is that even with training, like the cost of training, you know, it's an investment for sure. But at the same time, like that's the difference, is it's not an expense, it's an investment. You know, like inherently things that you put money into is an expense. But in reality, it's like when it's something that is doing something for you and going to get you further, it's always an investment, and it's always your opportunity to like live your quote unquote rich life, because it's like you're going to be moving in the direction that is right for you. I feel like that is such a good concept to kind of take a second to chat about, because it's like I have talked to so many people where they are like, I don't want to spend the money on that though. Like I really want to do that, but I don't want to spend all the money on that because like I have other bills to pay right now. And I'm like, well, you're going to stay in the same exact spot on your timeline if you keep doing it that way. You know what I mean? Sometimes you have to go backwards to go forward. It's like an arrow.
100%. I think that working with you was one of the best like choices I ever made, you know? Because like obviously it's like a weird, it's like a thing. It's like a thing to step in and get a personal trainer. It's a commitment. You're looping a person into your own personal story. Mm-hmm. And then like if you ever decide not to work with that person, you have to have a whole conversation, which codependent people hate to have whole conversations. So I was very in it.
No, which is good. And it is like personal training, like I always say, is like it is personal. Like I get to know everything about everyone's life in like a good way. So I'm always grateful that people trust me with that information. But simultaneously, I think that that's kind of the cool part about the way that I've come to coaching, is that like, for you, like we got to not only like physically strengthen you, but we also kind of got to dive through some stuff and offer a little bit of different perspectives and be like, no, actually, you are a badass. Like, go do the thing. Like, so many times I'd be like, you should quit. You should quit. You should quit. You know, all those little things. It's like you need that coach on all the ends.
You made it possible. You helped me survive. Because eventually, okay, the job that I was doing when I started training with you was – eventually they laid me off because of Silicon Valley. And I think I would have been like really bereft if I hadn't been working with you to a place where I saw myself as something that existed outside of a person doing a job, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's about good. Where we started the podcast too.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think you had gone through kind of two different similar tech job challenges at that. Yeah. And then it kind of like the common denominator, which I guess will kind of transition into this part of the conversation, of how you took that time and moved on to, you know, finally just having the courage to follow your passion. Cause you always dabbled in it, you know, like when we started the podcast stuff, and then you were starting to kind of do your podcasting company and all of that.
Yeah. And then that was the first step towards like admitting to myself that I wanted to be a person who created things specifically very human and very woman-centered content. So about a year into us doing the podcast, I had time and I had a little bit of like space to work within. I sat with myself and I committed to the idea of learning and listening to my body and what I needed. And I did a lot of yoga. And since I was teaching yoga by that point, I was teaching and moving and making friends within the yoga studio and sort of around it. And all of these conversations led up to me finally admitting to myself mm-hmm. the thing that I always wanted to do, which was to be a writer, because I am a really good mm-hmm. writer. And I was like tossing it into writing beautiful emails and making these board reports, you know, when really I wanted to be a storyteller. And that's come through in so much of the stuff that I feel like I have worked on in like the cracks of my life. And I didn't want it to exist in the cracks anymore. I wanted mm-hmm. it to be my life. So that's how we got here about 2 weeks ago. At the time of recording this, my first book came out. It was a project that I sort of took on myself this summer. I decided to pick a direction and sprint in it. And I ended up writing a book called Butterfly Net. And it's a collection of poems. And it's also got some graphic illustration, which is something that I did a lot of during the pandemic, was I would make these little zines and I would tell these little stories about my life through comics.
Which zines, like for anybody who doesn't know what it was, because I didn't know exactly what that was when she first told me. Can you describe what a zine is? Like, it's like a comic.
Yeah.
Strip, right?
A zine is like a self-made little like booklet. And usually it's like 8 to 12 pages long, and you print it on your own printer and you sort of design it, and you can make it sort of any way you want. Like, some people make poetry zines and it'll be all stylistic, like typewriters, and they'll cut out images and they'll photocopy them. And some people will make like I make hand-drawn zines. Mm-hmm. During the pandemic, I was writing these sort of personal letters from within quarantine. And I was like, here's what I'm thinking right now. And here's sort of these illustrated comics about being afraid of things going on and feeling weird and guilty and having really complex feelings. And it was how, for me, zines were like a way to like process feeling really complex, guilt and shame and hope and everything and loneliness. And then there's this big zine community on Instagram of people who like will DM and share zines mm-hmm. and follow each other and cheer each other on. So that was sort of where I founded my book writing project. Was I had this old zine account that I hadn't touched for a year or two because I'd gotten so caught up in like my like Silicon Valley marketing girly story. So when I came back to it, I was like, hey, I really had something cool here. So I grew sort of from projects that I had started and poems that I had written and then never done anything with. And that's how the book grew. And it became sort of, it also became sort of this opportunity to process like trauma. I was working through a lot of stuff that was holding me back and a lot of like the foundation of why I was in this weird place of like lack of knowing who I was and sort of responding to things as a person who was traumatized, as opposed to like being thoughtful and mindful and in my own life. So the titular poem Butterfly Net is actually like a recount of a story about when I was like 20, when I was 19 or 20, and my sister came to the same college as me. And I was dating this guy who met my sister, and he was like, actually, I think I like your sister better.
What?
And then they dated for 2 years. And it was so crazy for me. It was so crazy that I graduated. I've never told you that in my whole time. I guess I kept it really in here.
Yeah.
Wow. No, bombshells dropping on the podcast.
Forgetting the tea.
Well, I really did. Like, I lived in Atlanta at that time. And when I moved here, the only stories I was really telling about myself was who I was from Boston on, because I moved from Atlanta to Boston. And I lived with my boyfriend in Boston for a year before he got picked up by a tech company out here. And I had kept like this huge lid on this like thing that really sucked and that really put a lot of pressure on like my relationship with my family. And like when people ask like, do you have siblings? I'd be like, yeah, but I don't really talk to them.
Yeah, that's what you told me in the beginning.
And
you'd be like, there's some weird beef.
So it helped me like, yeah, was the weird beef.
Yeah.
This is the tea. So, and none of this is like inappropriate to say on the podcast because it's all in the book. It's all me getting out sort of like what was holding me back. And in a way, what really helped me to write this book and get it across the finish line was not thinking about it as like a final product, but thinking about it as like a first step. Like, I'm walking into a room and introducing myself. And this mm-hmm. is sort of like, I feel like almost like everything you need to know about me to know me. Everything you need to know about me to start. This is my starter pack.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's great. I was saying, I don't remember if I had told you specifically it like this, but I remember when you first reached out to me, I did a little like Instagram creep and mm-hmm. just to see, because I am pretty selective about the clients I pick at this stage of my career, especially because, you know,
God, I made the cut.
Not in a way to say it like that, but at the same time, I loved your creativity stuff. I remember showing Cam some of the things. I'm like, this girl reached out to me and blah, blah, blah. Look at how cute this thing is. And then look at these little recipe things she did with her boyfriend. And then look at all her artwork. And I was just, I really like creative people, because I think that especially mm-hmm. like knowing you and then seeing you go through a kind of not necessarily like anti-creative, but something that was definitely like stifling your creativity and making you hyper-focus on dumb interpersonal relationships at work that weren't dumb in the moment, but like when the big grand scheme
of things is right.
Yes. it was just like, I just was really excited to see you start to kind of embrace that side again, because that was the initial thing that really drew me towards wanting to work with you. Cause I'm just like, I like creative brains. I think that they're, you know, they need to shine in a pretty dull world like today. So I'm very excited for you with this book. I'm actually bringing it with me on the Norway cruise that's coming up for us in a couple of weeks. And you drew everything in the book, right? Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. The only thing look at that. I love it's that so page, cute. Actually.
It's so cool. I just like, I'm also jealous too, because like, I just am not like, I like drawing, but I'm not like very good at it. Like my husband Cam is very good at drawing, and he has weirdly kept that like a little tiny talent.
Cam lore unlocked.
I know. Yeah, exactly. He's actually quite creative. He's just never been encouraged to embrace it that much until lately. And so that's been kind of fun to see. But just love the fact that you used that as a way to process artistically and creatively through the pandemic. It was very interesting to see more artistic minds, how they managed their feelings throughout the pandemic, you know, like all the funny Netflix specials that came out that were literally actually like not that funny towards the end, because you're just like, oh my God, we're literally going insane here. But it was, yeah, it was definitely, it's cool. And I like that you're kind of taking that into your new creative journey with writing and embracing that side of you more. Okay, so a little bit more on some of the mindset and strength stuff for you. What would you say was something that initially through strength training itself you felt really uncertain of or against that later you completely kind of changed your mind about it?
Feeling uncomfortable, I think.
Mm. Okay. Yeah.
That this we've turned very serious now.
No, it's
I
good.
Think I would really move away from, like, especially I hated ab workouts because I just felt like such panic at being uncomfortable. And I didn't know, because I never had any history doing sports or anything. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how to push through to the other side of discomfort. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that there was actually like a good feeling on the other side of it, which I had to sort of get to know by trusting you. Because you were the one that was like, you feel better when you move, and you feel better when you don't like quit in the middle of feeling comfortable, right? Mm-hmm. Getting through discomfort is how you get to the next version of yourself. And that's a lesson in the gym and out of the gym, you know?
And that's a really good point, because I think that's why so many people constantly avoid movement. And on like a, you know, a more spiritual side to movement and emotions in that kind of way. It's really interesting when we've repressed emotions or how we feel it. I've noticed for quite a bit of clients, and I've actually even had a very self-aware client tell me, she's like, I might cry randomly if I do ab work. And I was like, really? And she's just like, yeah. And then she actually was the first person to introduce me, like, I don't want to say like 7 years ago, to the concept of like, you know, the solar plexus in your, right? Solar plexus, I'm pretty sure, is a chakra that's in the stomach area. And it actually can store a ton of emotions, especially for females, because we're so womb oriented, you know, and we hold a lot of really uncomfortable things in that area. And surprisingly, like a lot of people, not just because abs are hard, but especially females, I've noticed, don't like doing abs because emotions come up and they may not consciously realize that. Did you feel kind of like maybe some of the old beef or whatever was being held in an area for you? Do you think any of that kind of might have correlated or anything?
I think in a general way, abs activated my fear of not having control. And this is actually, I love this topic because I talk about this all the time in my yoga class, because I teach at Core Power. So there's like a, in every class in Core Power, there's always going to be a core workout. And it's something that I sort of like found in myself to be able to share with yoga students. I talk about how the tummy area is where we store our issues with control, and it comes out in a lot of ways. So it's like, if you're feeling anxious, you clench your tummy muscles. If you like feel like things like feel like everything is out of your control, you start to eat a lot, or you don't eat at all because it stimulates a sense of control that you have in your body. This is all, I have no science behind this. Don't look at the resources. It's not there.
No, that's the same stuff I've learned too. Yeah. So no, that's good.
And that's why like we can work out arms and legs all day and we can grit our teeth through it. But getting to abs is like the most sensitive thing. And it's also why I feel like why our posture is so bad, because we're always curled over protecting our tummy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Quite a bit of people. And then you get the opposite side where a lot of people are like hyper extended and they're a little overly proud. And then it's usually you can see people that are a little egoic or any of that kind of stuff.
Men.
Definitely a lot more men than females, that's for sure. But yeah, and I think that it is interesting for when you start to become a little bit more intuitive with your body, is like the ability to kind of realize when you're doing strength training or movement, when something comes up and being like, oh, that's interesting. Why am I avoiding that? Or why does this feel that way? Or, you know, all that kind of stuff. Like I remember for myself, I think I had heard only like a month before this on a podcast where somebody was saying about the whole how your movement can bring out emotions, especially when you're processing through things and whatever. And I remember that I was like grieving my grandma passing and I was spinning on a Peloton bike. And when I got to a certain level of like heart rate, it was just like all these men, I was just like, oh God, that's exactly what they were talking about. And so, yeah, I feel like that's something that I kind of love that we're talking about this, because I don't think I've actually got to really talk about it on the podcast much before, but it's such a great topic because nowadays we're so trained to disconnect from our bodies, look outward on everything, that, you know, when you do go inward, yeah, it's uncomfortable. Yeah, it's not fun. But then, you know, like you said, when you push through it and you get to the other side, you're like, okay, that's healing. That's absolutely moving forward.
I think it's especially prevalent here in like we're based in the NorCal Silicon Valley area, because everything we do here is so thought oriented. It's so like, how can I extend out of my body to create strategic results for shareholders or something like that, you know?
Yeah. In a high level sense. Basically, how can I like stay afloat in this rat race is kind of the highest level of the Silicon Valley.
So it's like we really don't spend a lot of time with our bodies. And it took me so long to just be able to like have a thought and then sit with it and ask myself, why am I having this thought? You know, and now I'm at a place where I have a lot of space with it. So I'm really not a reactive person. If it's like an example is like if food falls on the floor, I used to be like, oh, no, there's food on the floor. But like now it's like, well, it's already on the floor. You know, I can't really do anything. Like, so I literally have trained my mind when food is on the floor. I say an offering to the gods. Like all you have is the stories that you tell yourself. Yeah. To control like the experience that you have in your body. And all we can really, like my thought this summer has been, all I can really do is seek to have a nice time in my body from moment to moment. And if I'm not having a nice time in my body, then I take time to reflect on why I'm not having a nice time. And if it's like an unhappy time of my own creation or of my own choosing, like am I stressing about a letter that's going to come in the mail, even though my stress is not going to make the letter come in the mail any faster, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's
just like an example, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And I would say as that kind of pertains to fitness in the same way, the similar lesson I've seen with a lot of clients and even at times with you, but probably not as like outwardly verbally, is that obsession over results. And I think that that's been such a complicated thing to navigate as a coach, because I'm more trying to teach people the long game, because I see that even though they have this little short-term goal or whatever that they're really like clinging to, I'll be like, okay, how do we work towards that and acknowledge that? But simultaneously, how can I slightly convince you to stop obsessing over that? Because sometimes the obsessing makes you stay like so far away from achieving that finally, or shifting your perspective and no longer wanting that thing because it's unrealistic or not going to serve you properly, and move into what does, you know? And I think that that is kind of a cool thing from like us working together of noticing, you know, like I want to do this thingy or whatever. And then like, I remember timelines completely paused when your back got injured. And it was like, okay, well, how do we navigate healing in that sense? And how do you listen to your body more, you know?
And you're thinking of my specific back injury when we were training.
Yeah, I will say that
actually came because I was impatient and you were like,
yes, yeah, you were working out on your own.
I was like, gonna get results, gonna go grind. And I loaded too heavy in a deadlift and then I wasn't mindful about my form. And so it was all like, that's like a great micro example of like the larger thing, which is like being so focused on getting somewhere else that you're not where you are, you know?
Yep, yep. And you're not like listening to or remembering the little things that matter to get you closer to where you want to be. And if in turn, it was kind of more like life was then like, all right, I'm going to set you back 6 months, you know, and then that's a whole internal battle, which isn't a bad thing. Like, I think it is, again, like a good learning lesson. I've had so many clients do something exactly like that. And then being like, oh, I'm not superhuman. Darn it.
It's so true. And honestly, if all I had to do was like, get a back injury, find a chiropractor who was awesome, and then get my back fixed in 3 months.
Yes, way better. Trust the chiropractor.
Yeah, that's way better than like dropping a barbell on my head or something like that.
Oh gosh, yeah, I know. Yeah, and I even remember kind of that was like another area of like kind of mindset growth, I think, where it's almost like a good example for people to not necessarily always listen to what they've heard. Because I remember you were so nervous about the chiropractor, like you were kind of against it at first and your neck stuff and whatnot. And I just remember just like, he sounds like a legit person, like, you know, and it was helpful probably that you had somebody who knew how to like try to be like, this is the bad kind of chiropractic, or not really bad, but just like not as effective and then better. But you know, the world, like I've had chiropractors on the podcast already and they just like are so discriminated against in the wellness community, like so hardcore. And it's just wild to me because I'm like, I've had so much success personally and you even have with healing my body through chiropractic that like the way that people are like, they're quacks and they'll make you paralyzed, you know? Cause I mean, I remember you saying like that being paralyzed from neck adjustments thing when you were first looking into it, right?
Yeah. The horror stories on the internet when you Google chiropractors.
Yes. Yeah. Which I'm like, arguably allopathic medicine, like with the stereotypical doctors, the horror stories, like if we talked about the misdiagnosis or, you know, all that stuff, it's like, that would
be, oh my God, you're so right.
Way worse than chiropractors, but
no, yeah. Yeah. And honestly, the real lesson is don't go to Reddit for medical
advice. Oh my God. Yeah. That is honestly, I've unfortunately recently discovered Reddit. Like I've always heard of it, but I never was on it. And then I'm like,
ooh, you're so lucky.
I'm about to get back off of it because I'm reading this and I'm like, why do you trust the advice from this random username with like 18 different numbers and then like Fluffy Bear or something like that? And I'm like, none of that tells me like they're doctors. So why are you asking them?
It's because the website looks like a newspaper, I think. So we feel like everything in it is true.
Yeah, it is probably true. I know, right? And arguably now it's like, can't trust any news. But yeah. Anyways.
Shout out to my chiropractor. Yeah. Thanks for fixing my back. It's doing great.
Yeah, it's body workers are the people to be trusting when you injure yourself. Do not go to your PCP who's going to slang some steroids at you or something like that. Mm-hmm. But just had to throw that in the mix because it's a constant thing that I feel like not a lot of people on the podcast get to experience, that like tentativity towards trying somebody out and then like actually having like a highly positive thing to say afterwards to share with people, you know, on a public platform.
Totally. And it's honestly like, it's so funny because it's like the whole journey that we are like taking an overview from is really what people in their 20s are navigating through their health journey. Like it's hard to know what to trust. Like you've talked to doctors and you've talked to naturopaths and you've talked to a lot of people doing the actual work. And it's exciting to be here to talk from the other side of someone who has like been present for work done and said like, yes, those people make a difference. This personal trainers make a difference. Chiropractors make a difference, you know?
No, totally. No, that's really, yeah, that's a really valuable thing to add in from your perspective as having previously been a client and like knowing what it feels like to try to put your trust and investment in somebody to help you, you know, do a big thing. So I think that that's definitely important perspective to be shared. The thing that I remember being really fun to watch was as you physically were getting stronger and you could see your little muscle dents pop. I remember when you had first said, you're like, I found this like dent thing or whatever.
I love her.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Your little tricep dip with your delt. That you started to like stand up straighter and like have more confidence in your decisions, you know, and when we were discussing things, you know, it was just like more bold statements. It wasn't like like fluffy, agreeable things, you know, which mm-hmm. is really hard to break out of, especially nowadays. And especially out here, you know, in the Bay Area, where it's like, don't ruffle feathers because somebody might get really angry. And so I felt like that was good because you and I definitely have our own differences in ways we view things or whatnot. And it was always good because we were able to have those conversations and there was mutual confidence, if that makes sense, mm-hmm. Which I've totally found to kind of come in tandem with physical strength gains. So,
right.
Which is kind of fun.
For the listeners, those differences are that I'm vegan and Kelly eats 100 grams of meat every day.
Minimum. Yeah.
Kelly actually will only eat what she can catch. So that's why she goes on these long walks in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. I go fishing in the Salinas River. Oh, God, no. Although, you know, there is a giant ocean close by. I could go fish in that. I forgot that I'm also near that. But yeah, no, those aren't the only differences. But that was definitely a big one. But it's more in a way where I just care about your longevity and health. And we have differences. And I haven't done my vegan podcast episode yet. So stay tuned, friends, for that one. Emma's going to be like begrudgingly editing it. It's going to be like two words.
I love editing Kaylee's podcast. It's fun. I get to learn the facts before all of you guys.
Yes, that's true. And I always love when you will message me later and be like, I didn't know that. Or now I hate this thing. And all I drink is this stuff. And I don't want to drink it anymore now.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Kaylee ruined yogurt for me. My vegan coconut yogurt that I thought was my healthy snack.
I know. Well, it can be. It just as matters in the ratios and all that stuff, remember? But I think I also like it would think the other thing was the oat milk, right? Oat milk and stuff.
Yes, oat milk. I sore did have subject. To switch to I had to switch to the expensive non-dairy macadamia. Milk. I love macadamia milk, but I do not save any money now making coffee at home. I pay the same that I would pay at a coffee shop.
But it's healthier.
It is much better. If you are drinking oat milk, you should switch to macadamia milk. You will feel the difference.
Yes. It is much better.
Milkadamia, sponsor us.
I know, right? I wish. I think I've been purchasing Milkadamia back in the Portland days, like when they first came on the shelves, and I was like, ooh, this is curious. And then I was like, oh, the fat content actually helps it be like more like milk in, you know, all your hot beverages of choice, even cold, because that's the thing that sucks with alternative milks is they separate in like iced coffee, you know what I mean?
No, yeah, so. I put it in my cold brew. It's very creamy.
Yes, you have made me a few. I remember that.
We'll have to do a non-dairy milk review one day. I'll get back on the pod. We'll drink milk together.
It'll this be one kind of sucks. Yeah. but anyways, okay. So I do just want to share with everyone at the end here. Can you give us a little excerpt out of your book that is maybe a favorite poem from it or something like that to give everyone a little taste before we close out here?
What a surprising request. Of course. Yes. I'm not prepared at all, but I'll see what I can do.
You didn't have a bookmark exactly on the page.
So actually the poem that I prepared ahead of time and I was practicing as I was folding laundry today. I picked it because I feel like a big part of it is that it came from a lot of our conversations about like finding stability, not in external things like jobs, but in finding it in yourself, you know, and in trusting yourself. Like, I do not think I would have undergone, or it would have been much harder for me to undergo the creative journey from being somebody who sent emails in an office to being somebody who represents myself, makes things for myself, sells things for myself, like builds a network and relies on my own creative innate talent to make a living and to have a personal business. That's the preface, is that my mindset change came from mindset work with Kaylee. So you are also lucky that you get Kaylee's guidance weekly on Mondays, Rebel Wellness.
Just put a little plug in there. Clearly, she's been living in marketing world the last 5 years of her life. No, thank you for saying that. I appreciate that.
I love you, Kaylee.
I love you too.
This poem is called Abandoned Ship. You tried to be someone who put on a suit, who sacrificed hours pursuing the fruit of salary raises and slow, steady growth while under the shoes of the people you loathe. You called yourself stable, that siren-like myth. In truth, there is no such stability with a tech job, nonprofit, or government work, nor finance or healthcare. There always will lurk the office place politics, some bottom line, or aging directors who hate when you shine. So even if you are the picture of grace, and with every play you've presented an ace, they'll tell you that this was just never a fit, or moan that the budget has taken a hit, and leave you marooned on a hot sandy beach, then wave goodbye grinning as you gasp and reach for reasons this happened, but you'll come up short. And in the next paper, you'll read a report of how you went rabid and had to be shot. Then you'll take a breath, and you'll notice you're not the version of you that you thought you would be. And that stable job never did set you free. So shaking, you wade through the sea of unknown with hope that the ink and star sky guides you home. The salty seawater is not like you feared. And now that you're moving, you find your mind cleared. That ship had been awful. The job made you sick. And every gray day, they would force you to pick between standing still as they leaned to punch down or stepping to meet them and holding your ground. You'd spent so much time on your knees cleaning dirt that you'd come to ignore just how bad your knees hurt. Now on the blue waves, you begin to collect wet wood for a raft, and you come to suspect that given some time, you can build your own boat, and with some self-trust, you can learn how to float across the horizon to find a new land. Then, with your soft beating heart in your hand, you'll find it, a stable place ground in the earth. Now dig yourself up and embrace what you're worth.
Love it! Little quiet clap so it doesn't break out.
Thank you. Actually, I'll edit studio audience clapping into it.
Yeah, that'd be good. No, I love that poem. No, that's really, I think it's cool because it definitely is like any poetry, I suppose, way better to hear you say it with the inflections on your voice. Like the first time I had read through that one, it totally flows better the way you just said it out loud. So it's like, you should definitely continue to do like readings, I feel like, on that page would be awesome. Because then it's like, oh, that's how she wanted it read, you know? I feel like there's great, the people that I've seen that have done really well with their like self-published like poetry is like the R.M. Drake and like all those, you know, kind of bookies. And I think that I've been really impressed when I've looked through and read some of your poems already before getting through the whole book, just like how cool it is to see the way your like creative mind works. And like, even with that one, the imagery in my head as you're reading it is like, it makes a lot of sense. Like if you could almost do like animation or whatever they call it to it, I can totally picture exactly like how that would look, you know? So anyway, so I think it's going to be great things for you with all of this stuff. So I'm very excited for you.
Well, I'm excited to be here, and I know that I am here because I had the awesome guidance of this awesome lady named Kaylee.
Oh, thank you.
And actually, if you look at the, if you turn to the very last page, you'll see this, the third to last word is a cool thank you to a cool person.
Oh, thank you. You know what though? I didn't know that. I was like going to read that because I know sometimes people put acknowledgements at the front of the book or whatever. And I was like thinking to myself, I'm like, I wonder if there's a poem about me in here.
Oh my God. Like, I think I would let you know.
No.
I wouldn't
no,
surprise
no,
you.
I know. No, it's okay. No, I mean, and it would be okay too if it was always like, if it was cryptic, because I wouldn't mind. She's like, she tells me to do ab work and I hate it. I'm
When we were testing the mics, I was making up a poem about Kaylee.
Yeah. You should do now, after we've done this episode, you should, in your next book, write one about ab work and the spirituality around it.
I bet that'll exist now that we've spoken it into the ideal world.
Existence. Yeah, for sure. No. But.
But yeah. Well, but you can think of that poem as one that you laid a foundation for. I feel like all of that stuff, especially all of the imagery about like going into the ocean and building your own boat, that's like, in my mind, that's like a montage of us like training together, but also all of the time in between sets when you were sitting on the bench and I was on the floor on my little mat that was falling apart. And I was like, I want to have a business. And you were like, then have a business. And I was like, no, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm not sure I'm good enough. And just like,
oh, me, I'm just little old Emily, the email guy.
Yeah, the email guy, yeah. Yes. No, I know. I forgot about like all those times. It was definitely like, well, at least conversation at least like once a month, where I think you just kind of wanted to have that feedback and the courage to be like, am I good enough? Yeah. Am I good enough? Yeah. You know, and then I was just like, yes, yes, yes.
Yes, but your form sucks.
Yeah, exactly. Pay attention. Yeah, no, totally. But anyways, lady, thank you so much for coming and being on the podcast and kind of sharing how, you know, strength training and working together in general has kind of really impacted your life. And so that it's really fun to see like where you are now from then. And I don't really want to like share this as being like, I did a good job. Like, that's great. And I love that. Absolutely. And I'm so glad that you have shared some acknowledgement in that area for me. But more so, you know, I know that this is something that definitely happens for a good amount of people who work with either trainers and or, you know, just follow a strength journey for themselves, you know, whether you're following random people on YouTube or whatnot. But like the transformation people have when they actually get the discipline in of strengthening their body, I think has a lot to do with where it can strengthen your mindset, and they kind of go hand in hand. So thank you so much for being coachable. You know, that is something that is really hard to get. You know, there's some people that will hire me and then they basically just want me to be a soundboard and like to tell them to do the things and what to do, you know, and then they don't really make progress long term and they don't get the quote unquote results because they're kind of like, I want to have you in my like wellness circle, but I'm just going to keep doing all the other BS, even though you tell me not to do it because the world's telling me to do it. You know, I'm not going to trust you. So I really appreciate that. Like you've always, you know, trusted the process and been teachable and all that kind of stuff in the way of like, we get to, you know, it's not me just talking at you. It's just kind of us like working through life together. And I think that's been amazing.
Absolutely. And I think when we stand here and we like look back at like the path we have taken, like there's the proof that we see about like patience and trust in the process, that all little steps that feel like, why am I doing this? They all lead you somewhere.
Totally. Yeah. And I think it'll be fun, hopefully, for us to see in a couple more years down the road, like where we can go with Rebel Wellness, because it's still a little baby podcast. And I know that I've personally committed to at least 5 years of doing it. So it's one of those things where I'm excited, even in this format, to see where we can go with it together. And so I think there's a lot of exciting stuff moving forward.
And
so
since we filmed this interview and we're going to go viral, we're actually going to have a really big boost towards the end of the year. So we're doing good.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Everybody really needs to know about all this stuff. That, and mostly it's because of Koa in the background. They just really want to
look
see
at that him. Boy, sleepy guy.
So, he's so interested in our conversation. That's how everyone's going to be. Just played. But thank you so much, Emily, for being here with us today. And everybody listening, I hope that you go to our show notes to check out where you can go buy Emily's book on Etsy if you are very interested now after that amazing poem.
Can I actually plug it? It's on Amazon. Amazon is the place to get it now. We did a first run on Etsy. Those are pretty much out now. You can find it on Amazon and you can find it at my Instagram.
Sweet. Okay. So every link that you need will be in the show notes as always. But with that said, we have the little tradition here on our interviews for Rebel Interviews. And I always like to ask this question at the end. If at any capacity, what way do you find yourself a wellness rebel?
Kaylee, I love this question, and I love it whenever you ask your guests because everybody has such a different perspective on it. I think I'm a wellness rebel in that I really took my wellness, my spiritual wellness, my physical wellness, and my selfness, which I feel like is a deeper extension of wellness, into front and center this summer by investing time and patience and love in my creative project and in like even sitting there and telling like personal stories about like things that happened to me, owning my story and like taking full hold of my selfness. I feel like that is a way that I experience being a rebel, a wellness rebel. And especially when it's pushing back against like a system that conspires to keep us in cubicles and eating microwave dinners and kind of living life on autopilot. I feel like a wellness rebel in that I have been rejecting a lot of that this whole summer, and I'm going to continue to reject a lot of it, and I'm going to put little words on pages telling other people to reject it too.
Good. No, love that. This is how we start the rebellion. We're gathering our rebel army.
This is the rebellion.
Exactly. It's like just basically helping people be empowered to continue to actually not have to follow the status quo all the time and finding that beautiful power that's in that. So I love watching you grow. And I would say arguably more than just this summer. I think this summer is when you finally took the leap, but I would say you've been dipping your toe in the water and tasting the dough of being a rebel with your own, you know. Did you like that phrase?
That's what they say, tasting the dough.
You know, in my head, I always think of it like that because, like,
yeah. I'm imagining myself in a bakery, like, licking the products.
Just bake it already. No, yeah. I think it's because I've been baking so much lately in my own, like, kind of semi-sabbatical life going on here with my own wellness rebellion here. But yeah, so I think that seeing you go through that whole process and actually, like, being like, I kind of want to rebel, and I'm ready. And you just jump off the cliff and you're like flying. So I think that that's great. That is awesome. So, all right, Rebels, thank you for listening to today's episode. I really hope that you learned something today and maybe you were inspired by Emily to go and, you know, finally strengthen your body, strengthen your mind, all that good stuff. But as always, celebrate your strength and nourishment, walk with confidence, and we will catch you
on next week on another episode.
you can say the last one.
Rebel.
Wellness. What did you think about that episode? If you enjoyed it, I hope that you would come join my community on Instagram at Rebel Wellness Podcast or my coaching page at Kaylee Loren or both. I would love to see your name pop up on my new follows list. I might say hello if I catch you. And I would also like to invite you to come check out my website, coachkales.com, if you're interested in seeing any more of the educational learning resources I have created for you. I have a whole ton of amazing free downloads that you can, like, dip your toe in the water of what working with me looks like. And if you are really vibing with what I have to say and how I teach it, come explore my courses that are available for purchase. They are all do-it-yourself. In the near future, I plan to have some awesome group coaching that will be all live, so stay tuned for that. And the best way to know when I'm going to launch those is through my monthly wellness newsletter, which is my hand-curated, not AI-generated, monthly all things health and wellness newsletter that I created to be your new favorite resource for staying up to date with the latest in the health world, self-care resources that I've created, and a bunch of the clean beauty picks that I personally use myself, and a whole lot more, as well as early access and discounts to anything that I create in the future for specifically my newsletter sign up. So if you'd like to sign up, head to coachkales.com and add yourself to my mailing list. Last but not least, I would absolutely love it if you would help our podcast grow by simply sharing a rating or review wherever you stream and are listening to me right now, and share it on your social medias or text it to some friends or family members if this episode resonated and was something that you think could help somebody else, because I really would love to help anybody in your circle if I've been helping you. So I absolutely am so grateful that you're here. And if you listened all the way through, you are a real one. So, all right, Rebel, until next episode.